Everybody worldwide, you're now tuned into Motivation and Confidence, where we help you do your daily best. And I'm your host, Tom Danger. And this week in the building, we have the owner of StreetEquities.com. So tell the people your name, how you got started, and what is the goal behind Street Equities?
All right, so first and foremost, Street Equities started a few years ago from a mutual friend, introduced me to my business partner now, Super Mario's here with me now in the shop. And we had two different groups of basketball communities. I came from a group called Positive Direction, and my partner was affiliated with a group called The Bella, which is basically two different parks here in Queens.
Okay.
And through our mutual connections, we had... I was always into, on the graphic side of things, doing the business with Positive Direction Basketball. We're a group, it's a nonprofit organization where my son played ball. And basically it was it's not a charity program, but it's like I said, it's a not-for-profit program that kind of embraces a lot of that youth. It mingles sports with academics.
Okay.
And as a parent, I mean, we were just looking for something for our kid to do. But as a parent, we had gotten introduced to this program, whereas the coach was a good friend of my neighborhood guy. All these guys grew up playing basketball in the city. You know, they played in the best of their divisions, et cetera. And Queens always had that stigma for being soft, where dudes thought, you know, oh, Queens is like Long Island. Like, they thought Brooklyn, only the best players came out of Brooklyn and the Bronx and Harlem. So dudes from Queens always had a chip on their shoulder because they were always trying to prove, you know, that to the rest of the world that they were, like, the best. And that goes for everything, with music and everything. So that's why you see the, you know, the LL Cool J and the Run DMC era. I mean, that meant a lot to a lot of people, but that's a whole nother subject. But I digress, going back to how I started the company. I was always designing t-shirts for the kids in the program.
Okay.
So the program director basically said, look, man, you got an eye and an ear for the color and the styles, and the kids like, you know, that young, you know, they like, she was always just putting the words and leave it at, put a basketball on it, go play. And I was like, nah, you got to jazz up the uniform. You got to put, you know, this is what the kids want. They want different colors. They want to match their sneakers. They want to do this. They want to do that. So through fashion, it was only affiliated because of my close friendship with the guys from FUBU.
Gotcha.
Where okay. I grew up with Carl Brown, Damon John, and Jay Martin, you know, very closely in my neighborhood. Farmers, St. Albans, you know, Farmers Boulevard, 109 and The Rock. Everybody knows The Rock from Cool J and the, you know, the famous Rock on 109. And so we grew up, I mean, the clothes, it wasn't my thing. I was never into fashion. I was always struggling with, like you mentioned earlier, struggle to put two outfits together to try to, you know, not get teased and,
right,
you know, try to part of that whole popularity thing. And I just was a cool dude growing up, so I really didn't have to worry about, like, my clothes, even though I didn't have the high priced jeans and sneakers and all that other stuff. So doing that, you know, I kind of always had my ear to the fashion, but wasn't so much my thing. And then I had a bunch of, at the time I had managed a few guys that weren't, you know, a couple of guys I had designed a t-shirt, couple of rap guys that were trying to come out in the 90s, a group of guys that I grew up with, they created a group called 456. I designed a t-shirt. It was like everything. It meant more than the song. And sometimes, like, walking into clubs where we had all our same t-shirts on. So once I did that, I had the real taste for putting my ideas in print and really print them and making people happy through my design. And I didn't really care about the money at the time. It was really more for the satisfaction of people who got what they wanted. Like, wow, this is my logo. This is okay. Now I can go and stand up and, you know, show myself out and blah, blah, blah. So fast forward a little bit. I have been doing this for the basketball groups, and one of the coaches said, "Hey, you need to meet this dude Mario. He's from the Bello side, which is on more on the south side." And he was like, "Yo, listen, you need to hook up with Mario because he bought all this equipment, but he don't really have the designs and stuff."
Right.
And I have designs, but didn't have no equipment.
Got you.
It was a perfect match, and you know, we met each other through, like I said, through my son's coach. We kind of validated each other through our street cred. You know what I mean? We kind of was like, "Yo, is he cool?" And one day we watched a Giants game, I think, and I was like, "Yo, you know, he can come over, and we'll talk."
Right.
We chopped it up. It was real simple. He was like, "All right, well, come through. I got the machine. If you know how to program it and do all that stuff, let's start making some money."
Okay.
And it was no sooner than that week, was like Monday afternoon after my regular job, came over, sat with him, showed how, you know, learned how to do what he had, and we had a little vinyl cutter and some rolls of vinyl. Now, this business morphed from just like silk screen and really morphed into a real entrepreneurial business, which is vinyl and heat press.
So for the viewers that don't know, could you please explain what vinyl and e-press is exactly?
Yeah, absolutely. So vinyl heat press is a process that a lot of people don't really understand until they see it done. And there's a few steps that happen. And what you do is you buy rolls of colors instead of buying tubes of paint.
Okay.
So what I'm staring at is every one of these color rolls is a different color. So if you need red, you have red. You need pink, you need orange, you need all the colors. And then you need all the textures and different textiles. So there'll be greens, blues, glitters, felt, like the old school back in the days. And if you remember, the old school back in the days, felt, where you put your fresh crew, used to go down to the Chinese by Mr. Lee's.
Yeah.
And get your name pressed on it.
Felt like suede.
Huh?
It felt like suede.
Yes. Felt like suede. That's called felt. And that really was the eye opener for me, that, you know, kind of brought something back to me when I saw, like, we used to do that as kids. We used to go down to Jamaica Avenue here in Queens. We used to go down Jamaica Avenue, go get your stuff made up, and they would literally place the letters in an arch and yep. put your name or yep. put a Playboy in the middle
yep.
with the, you know, the Deuces crew or Farm. Whatever you was repping, and that kind of was like, when I saw this system that my boy had bought, I was like, "You mean to tell me that we can bring back putting letters on shirts and names, and we don't have to worry about ink and silk screening?" Because I had learned on the silk screen machine, now I didn't know that we could do one shirt.
Oh, okay.
And so this was the game changer, where vinyl, now you're not limited to inks and buckets of paint and mixing colors. You can literally take a laser cutter, which I have in front of me. We own a Roland GX24, and this is a cutter that simply just cuts the vinyl out into the shape of letters, words, you know, anything you could do. So, for instance, a company logo like yours, we run it through the machine, it outlines and traces, it cuts the vinyl out. We peel off the excess and we heat press it to the garment.
Ah, okay.
So that process took away the old silkscreen. It got rid of the old silkscreen, but now silkscreen guys are still needed. It didn't replace it. It just supplemented a new way to get one-offs done, because the problem with silkscreening has always been quantities, high volume, and space. You need those big spiders, you spin them around and you click, you know.
Okay.
And swipe and jeep and pick and buckets and all that stuff.
So question for you, what makes your company different from, let's say, a company like Custom Ink or Zazzle, or, you know, one of those online stores where you just go in, you know, as far as the process is concerned?
Okay, so the same thing is our biggest the number one guy in this business is Custom Ink.
Okay.
Now, Custom Ink is a huge company that does what we do, they've done it on a global scale, and they've kind of hired people like me. They realized the need that everybody had, you know, everybody had, and everybody was in a different zip code. So what Custom Ink did, and all these other companies that you're mentioning, they hire guys like me.
And to
do their work. And so then you become a zip code guy, and you just get work out of a printer, out of a fax machine.
So that's how they're able to turn the orders out so fast.
Yeah, so what made it different was, what happened was, is the kind of, I think is the answer to your question. What happened was, is due to the popularity between me and my partner and the circles we ran in, we ran in two different circles. We ran in the north side and south side of Queens. And so we had, from my people who did music to my people who did basketball to people who were involved with dance and stuff that my wife knew through my kids, we automatically had, you know, a $5,000 a month business flow already coming in.
Wow.
You know, from people that said, hey, I know you. I was going to get my shirt somewhere else. I'll get it through you.
Gotcha.
So what we realized was, is that the market, this business, while everybody wanted to be a clothing line, everybody wanted to have the new Sean John, or they wanted to be the new, Great Pigeon or whatever it was,
right,
all this fashion boutique stuff that's turning over quick, it's because of social media, it turns over faster than it comes out.
Gotcha.
As soon as it comes out. So what we said was, is we're going to cater to the disposable market of creating t-shirts here today, gone tomorrow.
Okay.
So we don't care if this is your thing today. If it's not, tomorrow we'll print what you're doing tomorrow.
Got you.
So we've never locked ourselves into printing something, putting it upstairs, and hoping it sells.
Okay.
We came up with the idea to the hood and telling them, hey, man, you're having a birthday party. Why don't you get Jaden's name on the front with his, how old he's being on the back, and, you know, make it put sparkle and do glitter and make it look nice. And okay. So we did a few. Some people didn't have the idea, but then they said, oh, I like what you're saying. Show me something. So, for instance, and now we fast forward into a little bit of how I cross-marketed it. A couple of friends of mine are entrepreneurs and, you know, guys in the business. So a couple of friends of mine started a liquor called Vodkila.
Okay.
It's one of the first, it's a little plug here, but it's the first fusion vodka with tequila.
Okay.
And they were neighborhood friends of mine, grew up in the same neighborhood. I saw they were putting out a new product to the market, and I created a shirt for them. And I said, yo, you need to have this shirt when you're going out and promoting. And the dude was like, yo, I didn't even think of it. Good looking. How much? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So automatically, okay, let me get you some product out there. Let me just start. And I created their shirts, but they didn't even have it. They didn't have a logo. They had, you know, naturally they had a logo for the bottle, but they didn't really have it for the shirts.
Gotcha.
So we created an apparel for them, and like we built it, and then it came. So all of a sudden we created a monster. They was like, yo, we're doing a pop-up tasting here, so-and-so, I need 50 shirts. Okay, so the first one went on. We took the same drug game, right? You throw the first one on the arm as a sample.
Right.
You know, get them hooked, and then they come back.
Got you.
So that worked for us, because that hustle mentality really worked for us, because we knew so many people. So we knew if we spread a little bit in every corner here, the first thing people go, yo, that's tight. Where'd you get it from?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Call my man Chad. Call my man. Oh, you know. So it really morphed itself into a need. And I credit social media with a lot of it. I mean, social media really played a big part in the uprise of our business, because once people saw it, they just had no choice but to inquire. Yo, and it made people think about what their next move was. So, oh, he got a picture of this. Now I'm going to put a picture of something else.
Got you.
The regular rest in peace stuff, the cancers and the walks and all those things really aided. And those are like, you know, those are always going to be there. But simply by just customizing people, giving people a shot, because all of the, every one of the big stores that you kind of mentioned, or the silkscreen shops, and they never wanted to deal with the onesie twosie guy.
Right.
So I felt that that was a lane for me. I said that, look, I wanted to be like the guys that were the Chinese guys in the mall that you used to go and make your one-off shirt and go and sit and wait, and they take a heat press and they press, boom, press it down, and here goes your shirt.
Got you. You know? Now, you mentioned something earlier about doing this after your 9-to-5, and
yep.
You and your wife, and you have kids and everything else. So with everything that goes on in the day, how do you stay motivated to do this after your day gig?
You know, that is a good question, Tom. And it takes a lot. I mean, I don't know if it's more of the drive that I'm looking to, like, where am I going with it, or that I want it to succeed, because it doesn't have an ending. It doesn't have a, you know, this is eternal. This is like, keep going, keep selling, because it's disposable. It's like asking the guys who make toilet paper, when are you going to stop making enough toilet paper?
Right.
When people stop shitting.
Right, you know what
right. so the answer is never. So I don't know the end answer to it, but the motivation comes from the request. The request is always, as long as my doors are open and I'm in this business and someone's texting me right now saying, I need 50 shirts for this weekend, I got this, I got that, I got this, then that in itself motivates me. So I think kind of what you're asking is where does the drive come from? And it goes back to what I said earlier. It comes from seeing people happy with your product, and right. They're excited. They're representing. But it's not about me. But their shirts don't say, they don't say Street Equity when they walk around.
Right.
They say what their moment was, what their birthday party was about, or what their bridal suite, bridal party, or whatever it is that they're representing. It gives, I think, the empowerment comes that I'm empowering other people to put their name on their sleeve and really walk out and show that they created it. And I kind of walk them through the creation process, so that it's not all me.
Okay.
Because one of the hardest things to do in this business is to be a designer.
Okay.
And being a designer is tough, because you have long hours of, can you make a guy stand on a cliff and hold the ball
right.
and do this while he's scratching his head and his toes are out? You know, and people,
right.
It's like designing logos. It's like fashion. So it's never... It's never easy to work, stay up all night, you know, avoiding, you know, like you said, you have your family issues, you have life that's going on at the same time, wife and kids, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, I'm not even paying attention to my family because I'm thinking about these orders that I got going on. So, I think the motivation really comes from the excitement that people get, like the people have. I've been in restaurants, and my wife and I will be having dinner, and someone will run up and be like, yo, that's the guy who made my shirt. It was the best. Yo, let me buy you a drink. So it has its own motivation. Like, you know what I'm saying? It has its own benefits. Like it just has some moral benefits that really, you know, kind of pay back. Other than the financial part of it, which is true also, but it does have some moral repaying, you know.
Okay. So on the confidence side, your drive for confidence and believing in your product or believing in your process, where does that come from?
Well, that just comes from like really trying to put something out that people will enjoy. So I never want to see a customer say they don't like something, right? So
right.
I'm constantly gonna try to make sure that the design works. I mean, it gets frustrating. You get people that just don't know anything and want you to do everything for them, think for them, but the confidence comes. I mean, you know, it's really, I don't even think it even, I don't even think it has a, it's more of a physical function than it is anything personal. Like, there's very little emotion that goes into this anymore. It used to be, and my partner and I said this all the time, we said, the day is not fun anymore, we don't want to do it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I think part of the, part of what you're saying, what made it fun for us, and what gave it that, you know, determination, because the setup that how we have our shop set up is where we hang out at anyway, right?
Got you.
So we're all grown older guys where we don't need to be in clubs, we don't need to be in lounges,
right?
And going out and spending money. We like to watch our sports, drink our beers, and hang out in a safe environment.
Got you.
So I think what you're saying, what happened was, is we wound up saying, hey, let's make money while we're chilling.
Got you.
And that kind of was the what happened to it. We said, look, we're chilling. Why not cut these shirts? Why not peel and heat press while we're watching the game? While we're, you know, talking with our friends down here in our shop. So it kind of became like the barbershop, right? Like, you know, it's therapeutic for some of the other guys. It's more of a, you know, it's more therapy for, like, for men, you know what I'm saying, I guess? And it really has its own, you know, it just has its own vibe to it where you're not subjected to the rest of the world telling you what to do.
Okay. So, for the listeners that want to get in contact with you and check out your website and check you out on social media, why don't you give us all that information, and I'll also post it in the comments.
Yep. So very simple. It takes a while to say the name, but everybody gets it later. It's Street Equities, and it's at all of the social media sites spelled the same way. That's at Street, that's S-T-R-E-E-T E-Q-U-I T-E-E-S, and that's on Instagram, Snapchat, and Facebook, and that's pretty much it. I mean, I don't get too many of the other stuff.
No problem.
Email is info@streetequities.com.
Okay.
And our website is www.streetequities.com.
That's what's up. And could we have, for the listeners of Motivation and Confidence, can they get 20% off their order when they mention Tom Danger?
Absolutely.
That'll be a good look. I definitely appreciate you. I wish you all the success. You've already drawn up some products for me, so I'm going to definitely rock those. And don't forget, we have you as a sponsor in the up-and-coming episodes, so I really appreciate that. And yes, this has been Motivation and Confidence, where we help you do your daily best.